Okay, welcome to Bhakti Sangat Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kala Sudha Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22nd, verse number 133 onwards. Is there Kala Sudha Mataji on the call?
Hare Krishna, Komudi Ki Mataji, Dandavat Pranams. All Kala. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you.
All Hare Krishna, Mataji, Kala Sudha Mataji. Thank you for joining and giving your valuable association. And all glories to Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. And you yourself, you're going very, very nice association you're giving. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Please take over.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I was actually joining from the japa. It was very inspiring japa today. So thank you all very, very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Texts 133-139. And the chapter name is The Process of Devotional Service. Text 133. Duruhat bhuta viryesmin shraddha dure astu panchake yatra svalpa api sambandha tadhiyam bhava janmane. Translation: the power of these five principles is very powerful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love for Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. Text 134. When one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of devotional service, the waves of love of Godhead will awaken. Text 135. There are many devotees who execute only one of the nine processes of devotional service. Nonetheless, they get ultimate success. Devotees like Ambarish Maharaj execute all nine items and they also get ultimate success. Text 136. Maharaj Parikshit attained the highest perfection, shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, simply by hearing about Lord Vishnu. Shukadev Goswami attained perfection simply by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune attained perfection by massaging the transcendental legs of Mahavishnu. Maharaj Prithu attained perfection by worshipping the deity, and Akrura attained perfection by offering prayers unto the Lord. Vajrangiji attained perfection by rendering service to Lord Ramachandra, and Arjuna attained perfection simply by being Krishna's friend. Bali Maharaj attained perfection by dedicating everything to the lotus feet of Krishna. Texts 137-139. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his hands in cleansing and washing the Lord's temple, his ears in hearing topics about the Supreme Lord, his eyes in seeing the deity of Lord Krishna in the temple, his body in embracing Vaishnavas or touching their lotus feet, his nostrils in smelling the aroma of the tulasi leaves offered to Krishna's lotus feet, his tongue in tasting food offered to Krishna, his legs in going to places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan and Mathura or to the Lord's temple. His head in touching the lotus feet of the Lord and offering him obeisances, and his desires in serving the Lord faithfully. In this way, Maharaj Ambarish engaged his senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he awakened his dormant loving propensity for the Lord's service. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. These very beautiful verses that we read, especially glorifying the five processes of, they're mostly called as the five limbs of devotional service, which are considered to be the topmost. So what are those five? That the first one is one should associate with devotees. The second is chant the holy name of the Lord. Third, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth, reside at Mathura and worship the deity with faith and veneration is the fifth one. So residing in Mathura is the fourth, and worshipping the deity with faith and devotion and veneration is the last one. So these are the five limbs of devotional service as is being described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is saying that the power of these five principles, the first verse that we read today, Mahaprabhu is saying that the power of these five is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love for Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. So it's very, very beautiful that how Mahaprabhu is actually displaying his Audharya nature through this particular verse. The Mahaprabhu is saying that we actually do not have to be at the level of perfection to be able to even practice or even attain the object five processes of devotional service. The Mahaprabhu was saying that the power of these five principles, it's actually very, very wonderful, but it is at the same time very difficult to understand. Why is he saying that it is difficult to understand? Srila Prabhupada often made the comment that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and complicated for the complex. So it is us or our mental and physical inabilities that make the simple process of devotional service seem very difficult because of our anarthas, because of our mental, so much of mental anxieties that we go through, the negativities that are there in our mind, all the, the negative emotions, the negative thoughts, everything that is there, all of that make this very simple process of devotional service, they make it very complicated and extremely difficult to understand. So that is the condition of people in Kali Yuga. That's the level that we are at. But Mahaprabhu was saying that even for them, there is no problem. There is some hope that even if we have a little faith, in You know, the entire process, Mahaprabhu is in fact saying that even without faith in them, even if we don't have 100% faith in the entire process, but if we can just start with a little bit, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love for Krishna. So it is saying that even if we have 0.01%, let's start with that. That is at least a starting point. And then, when 1.0% or, sorry, 0.1%, when we are a little bit, you know, when our faith shows results, that we are finding true happiness, true bliss in the association of devotees, when we are chanting our japa, when we are, you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are making our consciousness like the dham. You know, because residing in Mathura, like we talked about last week, residing in Mathura or any of the holy dhams is actually in a place of consciousness. If we can stay connected to the holy dhams in our consciousness, then it is as good as residing in the holy dham. So it is all about how much we are deeply connected in our consciousness to the holy dham. And that is why Srila Prabhupada and our, you know, current Guru Vargas, it is said that they carry the holy dham in their hearts. And, you know, just when we see a pure devotee, when we see our Guru Varga, when we stay in their proximity, it is like living in the dham. Why do we say like that? It is because the pure devotees, they actually carry the dham with them. Because it is, the dham is residing all over their consciousness. So that is called residing in the holy dham, residing at Mathura, which is the fourth limb of devotional service, and then worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. Such amazing deity worship we see, you know. I see sometimes Vrindagopika Mataji sharing beautiful offerings of, you know, bhoga offerings, and it seems so pure and with so much of love that bhoga offering is made. I'm guessing that it must be her, who is doing the offering. So, and she's taking picture of that bhoga offering. So it's done with so much of love. The love just comes through. We can see it. You know, with so much of love, the deity is offered bhoga. And then recently, last week, Mother Kirtida Sundari, she sent me pictures of how she dressed the deities at the Hillsboro Temple. So beautiful, so intricate, you know, taking time out and, you know, thinking how would Krishna's turban look, how would Srimati Radharani's hair be decorated, what kind of, you know, jewelry should I put on the lordship. So all of this kind of meditation is the fifth limb of devotional service. Each and every devotee, I can see they're so, you know, seriously, sincerely engaged in devotional service. And it is really, really, you know, the benediction that we have from Srila Prabhupada, and that, you know, we are actually able to perform these kind of services. We are able to know that even when we are physically separated from the holy dhams, that how we can stay in the holy dham, even if there is physical separation. How we can still stay connected to our spiritual masters, to our Guru Vargas, even though there is physical, you know, separation. How can we maintain that connection? So all of that is so much, you know, beautifully available to us is because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. How beautifully Srila Prabhupada, he has given us these power, these power-packed process of, Krishna consciousness. That how, you know, if you just follow that process, it is like, you know, we are following the five essential limbs of devotional service. We are following it. Text 134 goes on to explain that when one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of devotional service, the waves of love of Godhead will awaken. So this verse, when I was reading, the first time when I had read this particular verse, this was back in 93, 94, I think, I had read this particular verse, I remember. And during that time, I had, you know, me and my parents, we used to watch these memory tapes of Srila Prabhupada, you know, the fond memories of Srila Prabhupada as told by his dear disciples. So one time, one of the memories that was told by Shruta Kirti Prabhu, I remember so vividly, which I remembered when I read this particular verse yesterday, and I thought I'd share it, because when I first time read it, I had, you know, seen the memory, and I immediately was able to relate to this particular verse. So I thought I'll just share that memory. Shruti Kirti Prabhu was saying that one time Srila Prabhupada, he was giving Bhagavatam class. He was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, and Prabhupada was sitting on a high-rise Vyasasan. You know, this Vyasasan had like a few steps that Prabhupada had to climb up to, and he would sit. And, you know, the room was, of course, filled with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam class, the point that Srila Prabhupada was driving home was that we have to be 100% Krishna conscious. We have to be 100% Krishna conscious. You know, that is the only way that we have to, you know, dedicate our, you know, 24 hours, you know, and give our 100% to being Krishna conscious. So this was the main gist of the entire lecture that Srila Prabhupada was giving, and it was very, very heavy. And Srila Prabhupada, at the end of the lecture, when he said, well, any questions? And then, you know, everyone was really gloomy-faced, and everyone was very serious, you know, that Srila Prabhupada said that 100% Krishna conscious, you know, that is like a difficult, you know, goal to achieve. Everyone was really, you know, like with a straight face, everyone was sitting very gloomy face, very serious. Prabhupada just gave such a serious class. And Prabhupada just looked at everybody, he gazed at everybody, he smiled a little bit, and then he said, even if you're 95% Krishna conscious, even then Krishna will take us back home but to Godhead. But then even then the devotees were still, you know, some of them were sitting with their mouth open and, you know, all, you know, so awestruck with what Prabhupada just said. Then Prabhupada slowly stood up and then he, you know, picked up his cane. He said, 90%, even then Krishna will take you. And then Srila Prabhupada started walking down the stairs. And then even then the devotees were all still gloomy faced. And then Prabhupada just, you know, looked around again and he kept his cane in front of him and he said, 80%, even if you're 80% Krishna conscious, Krishna will still take you. And then Prabhupada was continuing to walk down the stairs from his Vyasasan and his chadar was, you know, draping on the stairs. So Prabhupada just looked behind and he just, you know, picked up his chadar and he, you know, draped it over his shoulder. And Srila Prabhupada said, looked like with his chin high in the air, he said, even if you're 75%, even then Krishna will take you. And then he walked away. So then by that time, everyone was like, Jai Srila Prabhupada, you know. So Prabhupada's like, you know, even if we can do 75%, Prabhupada giving assurance that Krishna will still take us. You know, and the rest of the 25%, Prabhupada will fill in for us. You know, that's how merciful Srila Prabhupada is. And whenever I read this particular verse, I'm reminded of that pastime that Srila Prabhupada, how he's saying that when one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of devotional service, the waves of love of Godhead will definitely awaken. You see, the audarya nature of Mahaprabhu is so great. The condition is not that we have to become, you know, like perfect in all the nine processes of devotional service. Even if one, if we can just perfect our lives even with one, you know, then we have hope. You know, so that is the audarya nature of Srila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and all of our Guru Vargas. And of course, text 135 and 136, Mahaprabhu is describing that, you know, there were many devotees. There are many devotees that who have executed only one of the nine processes of devotional service and have attained perfection. But devotees like Maharaj Ambarish have executed all nine items, and they have also gotten the ultimate success. So there is, you know, Maharaj Ambarish, who has executed all nine processes of devotional service. And on the other hand, there are some devotees who have perfected in one aspect of devotional service, the nine aspects of devotional service. So text 136 is talking about who are the devotees who have perfected their lives in and who have attained perfection by following the nine processes of devotional service. So we all know Shravanam is Maharaj Parikshit, Kirtanam is Shukadev Goswami. This is more fun to do when, you know, we do it like a quiz. But, okay. Then we have Shukadev Goswami, who attained perfection simply by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Shri Prahlad Maharaj, who attained perfection by, you know, remembering, by smaranam of the Supreme Lord. Then we have Lakshmi Devi, who attained perfection by Pada Sevanam. Then we have Maharaj Prithu, who did Vandanam, you know, worshipping the Archa Vigraha of the Lord. Maharaj Prithu is Archanam, not Vandanam. Maharaj Prithu is Archanam, and Akrura, he is the one who perfected his life with Vandanam, which is prayers, offering prayers. When Akrura was entering Vrindavan to take Krishna Balaram, and when he saw the lotus footprints of Krishna at the, the forest floors of Vrindavan, he got down from his chariot and he offered beautiful prayers to the lotus feet of Krishna. And the second prayer that he offered was when he was taking a dip in the Yamuna and when he saw Krishna and Balaram inside the Yamuna. And that's when he offered the second set of prayers. So Akrura perfected his life through Vandanam. And then we have, Vajrangi, that is Hanuman, who is the personification of Dasya, and Arjuna for Sakya, and Bali Maharaj for Atma Nivedana, for complete surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. So these are the nine devotees who have attained perfection by following just one of the nine processes of devotional service. And then following that, 137 through 139 is explaining how Maharaj Ambarish followed, you know, all the nine processes of devotional service. All of the nine he did and he attained perfection. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. You know, this particular line from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is actually a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 137 through 139. This particular line was very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. And many, many lectures, Srila Prabhupada has quoted this line over and over and over again. Savai mana Krishna rapadaravindayor. That our perfection of life is when we can take our mind and we can just, you know, like the lotus of our mind seeking shelter at the lotus-like feet of Krishna. So that is how it is explained that Maharaj Ambarish, he engaged his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. He engaged his words in describing the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he would only talk about Krishna. His hands in cleansing and washing the Lord's temple. His ears in hearing topics about the Supreme Lord, his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna in the temple, his body in embracing the Vaishnavas or touching the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas or the lotus feet of the deity, his nostrils in smelling the aroma of the tulasi leaves and the flowers that are offered to Krishna's lotus feet, his tongue in tasting the food that is offered to Krishna, his legs in going to places of pilgrimage and to go to the Lord's temple, his head in touching the lotus feet of the Lord and offering him obeisances, and his desires in serving the Lord faithfully. So we can see that Maharaj Ambarish not only engaged his senses, he engaged his kai, mana, and vakya. Kai means the body, the entire body. Mana, of course, is the mind. And vakya means whatever we are speaking. Kai, mana, vakya, mind, body, and speech. So he engaged all three of them in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now let's analyze that how Srila Prabhupada, if anyone is part of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, we all are actually trying to follow in the footsteps of Ambarish Maharaj. Because how beautifully Srila Prabhupada has given us the package of devotional service. He has encompassed all these nine aspects of devotional service in just the, you know, our daily spiritual sadhana. Just our regular sadhana, if we can do every single day, then we are engaging in these nine processes of devotional service. That is how beautifully Srila Prabhupada has, you know, taken the cream. You know, it is said that when we have to make sweet rice or when we have to make butter, it is such a, you know, tedious process. You know, first you take the milk, boil the milk, make yogurt, then, you know, churn the yogurt, then get the cream out, and then, you know, put it in the fire, and then you'll get butter out of it. It's butter and ghee out of it. So it's such a long process, lengthy process. But Srila Prabhupada has taken care of all of that for us. He has literally handed us down everything that we need. All we have to do is just taste the butter. That's all we have to do. The butter is all ready. Only our duty is that whatever process we have been given down by our Acharya Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas, that we just sincerely, faithfully follow that process, you know, chanting 16 rounds every day, minimum 16 rounds every day, associating with devotees, rendering service to the devotees, rendering service to the deity, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, listening to Krishna Katha, and trying to keep Krishna in our consciousness 24/7. So if we try and do that, then we are, at least we know what the goal is. If we are working towards that goal, that is what sadhana bhakti is all about. So that is practice. How much we are able to, you know, constantly think about Krishna, constantly meditate upon Krishna, constantly hear and chant about Krishna. How we are able to offenselessly associate with devotees, lovingly associate with devotees, and in loving association of devotees, render devotional service for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. That is the, you know, key to pleasing Krishna. Then Krishna's mercy will truly rain upon us. And we will really be able to, you know, whatever knowledge we have, you know, the most accelerated process of attaining spirituality, you know, and to attain, you know, spiritual bliss, is that whatever we have, if we can just share with others, you know, when we are speaking, we are not just speaking for, you know, others to hear, but for ourselves to hear also. Our hearing also gets purified, and whoever is around us, they will also be benefited. They are listening to Krishna Katha. So we are sharing Krishna consciousness with everybody. So when we do that, then our spirituality also grows. you know, Krishna becomes more and more pleased with such efforts. And that is our only saving grace. So with that, we'll end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Such a beautiful condensed milk nectarian class. Thank you so much. You just condensed everything and gave it at a shot. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. This is Venkatapati Vasudev Das from Hyderabad.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. This is a wonderful class. You have highlighted the point about Srila Prabhupada making this in a devotional service with complete completeness of having all the nine classes of bhakti involved. That's wonderful to hear. One question I have, Mataji, is in the lecture you mentioned that even one process of practicing devotional service will yield the same result as following the nine complete processes. The question is, because when we go out and preach and when we get devotees, some people are interested just in hearing. Some people are just interested in doing kirtan. So when you mention that one process is good enough, if they say that, okay, I don't want to chant, but I don't mind hearing Krishna Katha. So how do we understand the fact that the person is practicing one process very keenly, but asking them to take up chanting, is more important, or more, maybe not necessarily important, but it gives more completeness to achieving the goal. So please highlight on that.
Right. Very, very nice question, Prabhu. Thank you so much. So, you know, when we're talking to, you know, new people, we of course don't go around telling this to new people. You know that, yes, there are nine processes of devotional service, and even if you do one, that is perfect. Well, Prabhupada never said this in the beginning at all. Prabhupada, you know, always, to beginners, Prabhupada always said, simply chant. You know, he introduced the Mahamantra to them first. Now, of course, if anyone, even in the later times, after, you know, whenever we speak about this subject matter, if someone asks if only hearing is okay, I don't like to chant. You know, there was actually one person who said this, you know, and then to them, Srila Prabhupada said that, well, if you can listen the way Parikshit Maharaj heard, the 7 days, seven nights without eating, without sleeping, without getting up for answering any nature call, then yes, that kind of hearing will give you perfection. But we are in this condition that even for hearing for, you know, like 2 hours of Krishna Katha sometimes gets so much austere for us. You know, we cannot just simply go on hearing. We need, our mind is in such a contaminated state that we need the variety. You know, we need to hear, we need to engage, we need to do certain things. You know, not just simply here. In the early days of these great Mahatmas like Parikshit Maharaj, all they did was hear. He only heard for 7 days and seven nights. He did nothing else. So that kind of hearing, if we can really do, then no problem. Yes, you can definitely do that kind of hearing. But if you cannot do that kind of hearing, then it's better that we do all nine aspects. Simply chant, and, you know, engage in devotional service, and that is, you know, going to definitely help. And there, you know, in fact, there was one time recently a question was asked to Srila Sachinandan Maharaj by one kirtaniya, by a young gurukuli. You know, some of the young generation, they are very attracted to kirtan, but they are not so inspired by personal japa. So one of the devotees, and this is not a general comment, so please do not misunderstand me. I am not making this as a general comment, but this was, you know, one question that was raised by one of the young generation devotee who felt like that. He said that, well, I feel more inspired to sing in Kirtan rather than take my beads and chant Hare Krishna mantra. So to that, Maharaj said that he gave an example. He said that when we are chanting in Kirtan, it is like how a husband and wife would behave outside of their home. Outside of their home, even if the husband and wife have a quarrel or, you know, anything like that, then they would not show it to anyone outside. They would, you know, try to cover it up and try to, you know, be very good in front of people, you know. But then what is going on at home could be a completely different picture. But that is not generally shown out generally to the public, you know. So, but what we are doing in the house is more personal. It is, you know, of course, this is a very crude example, but that is similar in case of Kirtan and Japa. Japa is like our personal relationship with Krishna. And when we are doing Kirtan, when we are singing, it is like how we would behave with Krishna in public, you know. So both of these are needed. It's not that one will suffice the other, but both of these relationships are needed. So therefore, Maharaj was stressing that, yes, we may be attached to Kirtan, but it is also important for us to do the japa, but do it as a duty if we are not attached. Do it as a duty, do it as a chore in the beginning. And then slowly keep praying to Krishna that you'll develop the attachment. Now for new people who say that, well, I don't want to chant, I just will come in here. Fine, to new people we can't really force so much. Give them prasad, give them the hearing, let them do the hearing, give them some, you know, nice lectures that they can hear. Main thing is that make them keep coming back. Keep coming back to the devotee association. Because new people, if they are forced in the beginning, then they will not come back. We don't want to lose any particular soul to Maya. Our goal should be that we should keep them attracted to the association of the devotees. So if they are saying that, well, now at present I'm not interested in japa, I just like to come in here and, you know, I just like to come, that's all. That's okay. Let them come. At least they are coming. That is more important. So some devotees, you know, if you hear to devotees how they became, you know, initial days how they became devotees, because of nice prasad. No interest in philosophy, no interest in chanting. But simply by taking prasad and associating, yes, Shulita.
I think we lost her. We just wait till she joins.
Hare Krishna, I'm so sorry. I think I had got dropped off.
Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. So I was saying that, I don't know till where I dropped off.
I didn't realize it.
Prasada Mataji.
Yeah, so some devotees, they come in the initial days just for prasad, and that is perfectly fine. The main objective when we are dealing with new people is to make sure that they keep coming to the association of devotees. And then slowly, slowly by, you know, associating and keeping on coming to the association regularly, they will change. Krishna will make that change happen in them. So does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji, definitely it does. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
I have one question. I'll keep it for later so that I will have other devotees ask questions.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Kalasana, Shri Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj. I had a question.
Yes.
And you might have answered it. I joined a little bit late, but I mean, you might have answered it in the beginning when you were speaking. But about deity worship, you know, as we do deity worship, and please forgive me if you did, but deity worship as we do it at home, you know, as grihasthas, we have deities and we do worship, and then we've been doing it for many years, and sometimes we become a little lackadaisical, I want to say, or complacent, and not that we don't do the process properly. We do it properly, but it becomes automatic, and we don't realize that Krishna is really there. We can't, or we maybe we never realized Krishna was really there. So how do we cultivate that? If we have it, how do we maintain it?
Very good. Very good question. I definitely didn't cover this point, so no worries at all. And even if I have, I love repeating, so it's good for me at least. But thank you so much for the beautiful question. You know, the main thing with this kind of consciousness, it even not only just happens, you know, only in regards to deity worship, it happens sometimes even with our own japa. It happens sometimes even with association of devotees, you know. So the reason why these things happen is because we take things for granted, or we are just used to the mechanical way of, you know, things going about, you know. Everything is just running like a machine, you know. And that's really the fault of the material nature, the fault of the world that we are living in, and definitely the kind of design that we are built by, you know, with our own consciousness. How the anarthas in our mind have made us like that, you know. So, but the only way that we can really get rid of these kind of things is that, you know, like, again, when we are sleeping, the best way to wake us up is
to call us, the
alarm clock, right?
Yeah, okay. I was thinking to wait to call our name. Okay.
So the alarm clock is the best way to wake us up, correct? But if we are pretending to sleep, then the alarm clock can keep ringing all day, but we won't wake up. But if we are pretending to sleep. But if we are in deep sleep, the best way to wake us up is the alarm clock. So the alarm clock in the life of a practicing devotee is, you know, Sadhu Guru Shastra. That is the alarm clock in the life of a devotee, of a practicing devotee. That we need to keep ourselves with these three alarm clocks around us all the time. That Vaishnava Association, they can help us. Okay, you know, they will inspire us. When we see devotees around us doing such amazing service, their amazing service inspires us, you know. When we see, you know, when we read, you know, from the Shastra that how great devotees performed and perfected their lives by the performance of devotional service, that inspires us, that wakes us up. Then when we hear and serve the spiritual master, guru, when we do that, that helps us. So doing all these three are like those alarm clocks, you know, how they actually inspire us in the different way in which we can, you know, stay inspired in our devotional service, stay enthused in our devotional service. In fact, that is the meaning of the Gayatri mantras that we chant, you know, as Brahmanas. When we chant the Gayatri mantras three times of the day, all the Brahmanas who are Brahman initiated, they know the meaning of the mantras. And the meaning of the mantras are very, very, you know, beautiful. It's praying to the Lord that so that I can remain enthused by your enthusiasm. That is the meaning. That is the gist of the meaning of those Gayatri mantras. May their enthusiasm enthuse us. So that, you know, so when we are keeping our consciousness drenched with, you know, constant repetition, then yes, one day that iron will become fire, you know, by constant association of the fire. It will change. The element will itself change. So right now we are hard iron. But, you know, we have hope. If we can stay in the constant association of fire, then that iron will definitely melt and we will become fire too one day. So does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you. So keep the alarm clock ringing to wake us up, Guru Sadhu and Sastra.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Mataji.
That's our only hope. That's our only hope or our only shelter is the association of devotees, the revealed scriptures, and our spiritual master. You know, when we hear in the association of devotees, when we hear about amazing services done by devotees, I was just talking to a very wonderful devotee. I don't want to embarrass her by taking her name, but anyways, I will. I mean, not embarrass you, but I was just talking to Indu yesterday. And, you know, this girl, she's got so much of sincerity. That sincerity inspires me, you know, the way she serves her deity of Srila Prabhupada, and her sincerity in her sadhana really inspires me, touches me, you know. So it yesterday whole day I was actually inspired by her. Just that, you know, little bit of speaking with her inspired me so much. So like this, when we associate with devotees so that we can get enthused in their association, that is, you know, the actual way of associating with devotees, you know. That is really matchitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. That is how we can always, you know, be completely satisfied and blissful every moment of the day.
Mera khatam hi ho gaya class mein Chaitanya Charitamrita ka class tha na, so conference call hai.
Hare Krishna. So that's what it is. You know, so that's how we can derive satisfaction and bliss. You know, and we can always remain in the platform of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Right now we are only Bhuta. You know, we are like ghosts roaming around. But if you want to attain the Brahma Bhuta state, you know, of being self-realized, then that this is the key. This is the key. A very nice question, Mataji. Thank you so much for asking this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, all glory to Srila Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Very beautiful class, as usual, and explained in a very simple language. It was so easy to understand, even for beginners. And very nice mention of all the nine processes of devotional service. And I just had one question, Mataji, regarding what Prabhuji asked some time back about all nine processes. Even if one process, if we can perfect, then it will liberate us. So in that sense, I was just wanting, and you answered also very beautifully, because our mind needs variety. And so otherwise, if we can engage in one process for hours, then it is okay. But I was just wondering, because we talk that in Kali Yuga, chanting is the only process, and chanting is like 99% of our devotional service. And so much of importance and stress is given on chanting. So is it just for our, you know, reference or theory sake that they have mentioned that any one process is enough, or is it really applicable in this yoga also?
It is applicable in this yoga, for sure, yes. It is applicable for this yoga, there's no doubt about it. In fact, there was one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, and he actually wanted permission from Sri Srila Prabhupada, I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, that he wanted to just chant japa. he didn't want to do any other seva but just chant japa. He was like a Babaji, and Babajis are also expected to preach. They're also expected to do so many other things. But he was so attached to the holy name that, you know, he would not do any other service. And some of the other, you know, disciples, they got upset that why is this one devotee just chanting the whole day, and, you know, almost whole night he would sit up and chant. And they complained to Sri Srila Prabhupada. They came in front of him and complained about this particular devotee, saying that, you know, all he does is chant all day and he doesn't do any other service. So you should tell him to do some other service. And then Sri Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's the perfection of life. If he is able to chant, you know, almost 24 hours a day, don't disturb him. Let him chant. And he would actually chant. He would go around and he would just keep chanting. He would sometimes chant. He would not sit in any solitary place and he would not chant. Not like that. But he would, you know, go around to different villages and he would just chant, chant, chant. That's all he would do. That was his way of preaching. And so Sri Srila Prabhupada said, don't disturb him. It's okay if he's not doing any other service, but if he's just, you know, engaged in japa, that is perfectly fine. So this is definitely not theory. It is definitely the, you know, absolute truth. The only thing being that we may not be in that, on that level to just perfect our lives with only one process, you know? So that's the only thing. But if we are able to, then why not? Like Lakshmi Devi, only thing she does is that sit at Narayan's lotus feet and just massage him. That's all she does, Pada Sevanam. So, you know, that is how she is. You know, that is her position. That is how she has just perfected her life in just doing that. So we need to understand that if we can do something like that, why not? Yes. And it has the potency to give us all perfection. The only question being, are we efficient enough to just follow that one process with that sincerity, with that kind of commitment, and for, you know, years to come, for eternity, are we able to do that? That is the question.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Any more questions?
But Prabhuji has a question. Another question, and the one who asked from Hyderabad. So I don't know if he's still there or not.
Correct, Mataji. So I'm going to ask a question, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, please.
Yeah. Mataji, the question is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about so many devotees who have perfected their life, and most of them, pretty much, we get to know that they belong to Satya Yuga or Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga. So my question is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, do we have mention of devotees who have perfected their life in Kali Yuga? Because when we go out and do preaching, we talk about Prahlad Maharaj, Vidya Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Ambarish. Well, people are kind of wanting to know, oh, okay, you're talking about this process, but have anyone perfected their life in this age and in this yuga? So is there any mention about any devotees who are able to perfect their devotional life in Kali Yuga, mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam, Mataji?
Well, there is the mention of Srila Prabhupada himself as the not only as the Shakya Vesh avatar, but also as the Senapati Bhakta. Mahaprabhu himself has talked about Srila Prabhupada. And in fact, all of our acharyas, you know, before Srila Prabhupada, they are all mentioned that they are all manjaris, you know, in the spiritual world. So they are all perfected beings. So, you know, they are part of Kali Yuga. And, you know, So that is definitely there. And whoever is, actually Srila Prabhupada said that whoever has taken up to the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not an ordinary soul. You know, so they are blessed souls and they are very special souls. Who, you know, Srila Prabhupada actually said that all of you who have come, you know, he told his disciples that all of you who have come forward to help me in my mission to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of you have been sent very specially by my Guru Maharaj. You know, my Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to help me, to assist me in my mission to serve him. So this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He considered each and every of his disciples to be very, very special, very, you know, like that. So yeah, the thing is that we need to know perfection means really what? I mean, yes, we have Prahlad Maharaj, we have Dhruva Maharaj, whose descriptions are vividly given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But, you know, well, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, will not be able to give, it is definitely given that, you know, in Kali Yuga, the, you know, there'll be a golden era during Kali Yuga where everyone will be perfected by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is predicted. So that means that, you know, everyone who is going to be present and part of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all going to be part of this golden age of Kali Yuga, the golden period of Kali Yuga. That means that everyone is going to be perfected during that time. You know, so that's, does that help in answering your question?
Yes, Mataji. Definitely. The last part has a lot of weightage, is what I felt when you said the golden age, who takes up and, you know, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the air. So that is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So whoever can take up the process, then they can perfect their life. Yes, thank you, Mataji.
Absolutely.
Thank you for
and of course,
enlightening that.
Of course, we have the mention of Prabhupada as Senapati Bhakta. You know, Prabhupada is mentioned as Senapati Bhakta. He is mentioned in Bhavishya Puran as the Shaktavesh avatar. Srila Prabhupada's details are there in the Bhavishya Puran. So yeah, Prabhupada is predicted like that.
So, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Guru Maharaj ki Jai. Very wonderful class, Mataji, and devotional service. So, I have a question regarding chanting only, Mataji. So, it is said so many times we hear that chalte, firte, sote, gaate, you can chant Hare Krishna. But when katha is going on, so can we chant Hare Krishna? So some people say, no, you can't chant, you have to hear. And some people say, yes, you can chant. So what is the answer?
Very good question. Very, very good question. Japa means what? Japa means that we are actually talking with Krishna. We are having a conversation with Krishna. We are speaking. We are giving our appeal to Krishna. We are appealing to Krishna. We are praying to Krishna. And Krishna is listening to us. Yeah? That is what japa means. Now, say for example, if I come to your home and you start talking to me, I'm listening to everything that you're saying, and then while you're talking to me, you are doing, you know, going around and talking to another person, you are sitting and, you know, listening to some other music. Do you think that is giving me any, will I give importance to whatever you are saying then? Not really, right? Because this was the example that was given by Srila Loknath Maharaj regarding this very topic. Maharaj said that this is not the way it is actually an insult to Krishna, while our japa, because we are actually conversing with Krishna, we are having a conversation with Krishna, and while we are doing that, if we are doing anything else means in the terms of hearing anything else or speaking anything else. We can be doing any other activity, like we can be doing cooking, you know, or we can be doing driving, or we can be, you know, taking a shower, we can be cleaning our house, we can be walking, we can be sleeping, whatever we may be doing. If at that time we are chanting, no problem. But if we are engaging our tongue and our ear while we are chanting in doing anything else other than, you know, just hearing the holy name, then that is offensive to the holy name. Does that make sense?
Yes, sure, Madam. Thank you.
So it is definitely not recommended, and it is actually not just recommended, it is actually very offensive to chant while listening to Krishna Katha. When we are listening to Krishna Katha, then we should just listen to Krishna Katha. Why are we listening? You know, then there will be too much of listening going on. Neither we are listening to Katha, neither we are listening to our Japa. Japa, the main purpose of Japa is so that we can hear our own Japa, right? Not that, you know, oh, I have 8 rounds, meko aur 8 mala khatam karna hai, chalo, ghumao. You know, so that's not the purpose of Japa. If that is the purpose of Japa that we are doing, then there's nothing to say. But then that's not proper at all. It is very, very offensive. So we should be very mindful and give proper respect to Japa and to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam also. So when we are doing these things, always remember that when we are doing our Japa, our tongue and our ears are engaged. So anything that is, you know, engaging in any other activity of these two senses should not be performed. So we should not hear anything else. We should not speak anything else when we are doing our japa. We can be doing anything else other than that. Okay? Very, very nice question. Very nice question. Thank you for asking that question.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dangar Pradam, congratulations to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. I also had one more question regarding the chanting, actually. Like chanting while driving, some of them do that. Now, that is not counted as a part of the 16 rounds. Am I correct on that, Mataji?
That's correct. Even chanting while cooking, that's not counted within our 16 rounds. Chanting while, you know, driving, definitely not counted within our 16 rounds. Yes, you're absolutely right.
What about chanting while walking, Mataji? Because many times, like, walking and can become an exercise at the same time we can chant. Is that okay or no?
It depends on, like, if you're walking from here to the temple, from your home to the temple, and doing chanting at that time, that's definitely okay. But if you're walking as an exercise, and then it's better to consider that kind of walking and exercise walking as extra japa.
Okay.
Okay,
Mataji.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Inasi. In my about the chanting, I also have one question.
Yes, Mataji.
One time in the class, long ago, I guess, that you mentioned that, like, when we are chanting, so just finish one round and pull down the one bead, then the second round, pull down second bead, and like that. So it's not like pulling down the beads and moving the one bead after another. So I just wanted to find out how can we at least chant up to 16 rounds and count them?
I'll tell you one process that my Guru Maharaj, Jagataka Maharaj, taught us. He said about dedicating each of our rounds, even our 16 rounds. And he was giving us a small little workshop in Mayapur, and he said that it just becomes so easy when we chant in this way. He said, your first 5 rounds dedicated to Panchatattva, each personality. First round to Mahaprabhu, second round to Nityananda, third round to Advaita Acharya, fourth round to Gadadhar, and then fifth round to Srivas. then five rounds. You know, it just gets really nice when you're dedicating your rounds in this way, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next 10 rounds you dedicate it to Radha Madhava and Ashtasakhi. So that is 10 rounds. So that makes 15 rounds. And then the last round, your 16th round, you dedicate it to Lord Nrisingadev.
Very nice. Thank you.
So that's how I stand.
You know, what I was doing, I'll tell you what I was doing. Uh-huh. See, in Shikshasaka, there are 8 verses.
Right, yeah.
So then I just, you know, for first two rounds, first round, and second round, I chant first verse. Say third and fourth, I chant the second verse, like that. So the rounds, eight verses and two rounds on each verse.
That's wonderful too. Yes, that's definitely wonderful.
Okay.
The main thing is for us to, you know, to get the goal. The objective is Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. We should engage our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. And our mind is everywhere but at the lotus feet of Krishna, everywhere else.
I know that.
So the purpose of these kind of techniques is that so that we can just, you know, when we are chanting at the beginning of the round, you know, at the headbeat, when we are chanting, taking permission from the spiritual master, taking permission from Prabhupada and Panchatattva, then if we just, you know, dedicate our round to, you know, either the Shikshashtakam verses or to, you know, like these personality like this, then it just makes the round, you know, like for the mind, it just makes it a little more meaningful. And, you know, we get out of that monotonous machinery kind of chanting, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. So, but thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing that.
Thank you very much. Very nice class. Very nice. You have enlightening. I hope if anybody has any question, please go ahead if you have.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class and very nice. So many instructions, Mataji. Very, very beautiful. I just want to say thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Whatever I have heard from my spiritual master, whatever I've heard from all Guru Vargas and Srila Prabhupada, I'm just like a parrot repeating it without any kind of realization. So I beg each and every one of you, please have your mercy upon me so I can at least start, you know, relishing a little bit of chanting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Very enlightening and nectarian. I shouldn't say class, but it's a nectar. Nectar katha. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to again next week. Thank you.
Mataji, before you go, can I ask one question? Sorry.
Yes.
This is again the chanting, Mataji. Chant and hear, that's the logo, that's the motto, that's the way we should go. Now, when I focus and chant and try hear, then there is that prayer mood, that the thing that the chanting is as like an offering to Guru Maharaj and offering the devotional service that we are doing, that feeling does not come at all. So a prayer mood plus this is very hard. If you go into the prayer mood, then chant in here is not there. So how does one combine the two, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Mm. Yeah, very nice question. Of course, this is an, you know, like there can be an entire seminar on Japa workshop. But just to give you one little highlight here, that, you know, when we are chanting the Maha Mantra, Prabhupada said that it is a 3P formula. There's 3 P's that we need to always remember before we start chanting. The first P is pronunciation. We should be very, very clear in our pronunciation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not Hare Krishna, it's not like that. You know, so pronunciation of each and every syllable should be very, very clear and we should be able to hear each and every, you know, the 16 syllables, 16 names of Krishna very, very clearly in, you know, when we are chanting. That is the first P. The second P is our posture, you know, how comfortable we are, whether we are sitting and chanting or whether we are just taking a stroll and chanting, you know, like walking around and chanting. Whatever posture we choose to take, that it should be very comfortable for us. You know, we should not be so strict that, you know, it starts hurting us, nor so slackened that we, you know, feel so relaxed and just go to sleep. So our posture is something very important. That's the second P. Third P, and the most important one, is that we should never forget that this Maha Mantra is actually a prayer. It's a prayer that we are calling out, that, O Mother Hara, O Hare, O Krishna, O Rama, I am drowning in an ocean of misery. Please, pick me up and engage me in your devotional service. This is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. So if we can keep it in our consciousness when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, that, you know, this is actually a prayer. It's an appeal to Krishna. It's a heartfelt prayer to Krishna. That, Krishna, please allow me to engage in your devotional service. Then, you know, that prayerful mood is what will allow us to keep chanting again and again and again and yet again, you know. So that's something that we definitely need to focus on. And I think for now I'll just end there. And again, about, you know, selecting a particular space, you know, like for the mind in the contaminated state, what happens is that we tend to, you know, like, say, for example, when we go to the kitchen, the mind automatically knows that we are either here to eat or to cook, right? The mind knows that. When we enter the bathroom, we know that the mind is going there for doing, I mean, the body is going there for doing certain, you know, answering nature calls. That's why we go to the bathroom. We are going inside our closet because we want to go and change our clothes. We are going into our car because we want to drive away, right? Mm-hmm. So these are certain spaces that we go to. And the mind relates to that as certain action that we are going to be doing in those places. So for us to focus on japa, it is very important also to fix a particular place, like a sacred place, a designated place, where when we enter that designated place, the mind will immediately know, oh, this is our chanting space. This is where we need to focus on japa. Like that, you know, so that definitely helps. Keeping like a, you know, proper asana, sitting and chanting, or if you have a place that you roam around and chant, do it in that same place, in that same vicinity. That helps in our japa. So these are certain tools that, you know, help. But we can share more, you know, but I think lack of time, we'll wrap up here if that's okay. But I hope this helps.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. This three P's concept, this was especially the posture part that I was not aware. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Very nice question. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, then. Thank you, Mataji. Now, thank you. We end the call now.
Yeah, Mataji, I just want to say, again, thank you to everyone. It was such a beautiful session. Thank you, Kalasada Mataji. Thanks to all the devotees who asked so many beautiful questions, and thank you for the answers as well, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Ever grateful to you. Thank you.
We can end the call now, Mataji?
Yes, yes, please.
Okay. Vanshankalpatarubhyasya.
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी
जय
नामाचार्य
शिलामृत की जय शिल प्रभु जय हर ग्रेस कलासुदा माता जी की जय यू वेरी मच कलासुदा माता जी वेरी वेरी
अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी जय थैंक यू सो मच हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा
थैंक यू सो मच माता जी हरे कृष्णा
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvatanam.
program.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Keshavi. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.